Well, greetings, everyone. I'm so glad to see all of you here on our Facebook Live. We're so excited for the presence of the Lord. We believe God is going to speak and minister in a tremendous way. I'm going to give you just a minute to join and join on. We're praying that God is going to bless us. It's going to be a powerful time of ministry. Welcome to our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. I'm your host for today, Apostle Nathaniel Leon, and I'm glad you're with us. We believe God is going to speak tremendously and that the favor of God is going to abound and that he's going to be glorified in what we're doing today. So thank you for joining us. We pray that God's favor and God's blessing would rest upon each and every listener today. And we're praying that the goodness of God would be seen in the land of the living. So the Lord bless you. Thank you for being with us. I'm going to ask if you would to do that work of the evangelist. If you would go on to the podcast and share the podcast, like the podcast, let somebody know on. I'm doing the same. I'm grabbing my device here. I'm going to pray that God would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to discern the mind of God, the purpose of God, and the plan of God. We believe God wants to speak supernaturally and just transform the hearts of the hearers today. And I'm glad you're with us. So thank you for joining us wherever you're watching from. I pray the blessing and favor of the Lord over all of you listening and all of you watching. Thank you for being here. We're going to get ready in just a minute to start our podcast. We've got a very special guest today going to be joining the podcast in just a few minutes. Pastor Michelle Torres Gonzalez is one of the senior pastors. Her and Pastor Juan are the senior leaders of Freedom South. So in just a minute, we're going to join. But I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you just a minute to do that work of the evangelist. Share the podcast. Bless you, Anna Rosa. So good to see you. Bless you, Sister Valerie. I see Pastor Michelle's ready to come in just a few moments. We're going to have her on. Sister Bianca, the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to share the broadcast as well. And I'm asking that God would release his presence, his power, his word in a mighty, mighty way. So thank you for being with us. We're praying that God's power and God's presence would just come forth and that we would hear from him today in a great, great way. So I'm going to ask that you would, as you, if you can, again, one more time to share the podcast. We believe there's a word today for you. There's a word today for your family and that God is going to minister supernaturally to every hearer of the word by his presence. So I'm going to ask you to get ready. I'm going to invite in just a moment. Again, she and her husband are the senior leaders of Freedom South Church, Freedom South Ministries in the city of Florida, or in the city of St. Augustine. We're headed to Florida, and God's going to move. I'm going to pray very briefly in a moment and release the presence of the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to welcome with me, if you would, Pastor Michelle to the podcast. The Lord bless you as she comes in. And God bless you, Pastora. How are you doing?
I bless you. Doing great. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to have you, Apostle, and the great people joining us today. I'm excited. And we're looking forward to having you right here in Florida. Hallelujah. How are you
doing? Amen. Amen. It's going to be a powerful time. We're expecting the presence to move so mightily. You and your husband, Juan, Pastor Juan, I know it's going to be an amazing time with our Freedom South family. We're so glad you're here. We're going to start with a brief word of prayer. I know there was a lot of interference this morning coming on, but I believe that God is going to speak to us, and I can't wait to hear. I see you representing your Raise in the Altar shirt. I'm so glad. It's going to be a powerful weekend. Raise in the Altar, Florida, in St. Augustine, with our Freedom South Campus family. It's going to be amazing. Let's just start with a word of prayer, and we're going to get straight to the word. I'm going to ask again those watching, if you can, to be sure to share the broadcast, tag the broadcast, like the broadcast, subscribe, make sure you're following, but share it, share it, share. We believe God's going to speak powerfully today. So let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we invite your power, your presence, your anointing to touch, to heal, to transform, to release goodness and mercy and favor over every hearer of the word today. I ask you for wisdom and revelation to fall fresh on the eyes of our understanding. I pray that you would release illumination and revelation, that we would hear from you and be transformed. We ask you that as we raise the altar in nations, in states, in cities around the world, that you would get glory, that you would get honor. I pray that every obstacle, every resistance, every hindrance to this podcast would be bound by the power of your word, and that you would get glory, and that you would get honor, and that your presence would abide with us, and that we would see and hear from you in a supernatural way. minister to your people wisdom, revelation, and power, and ask you now, anoint our lips of prayer as we share the word, that you would get glory, that you would get honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone that agrees, say amen and amen. I want to welcome all of our guests again. Normally, I can see I'm actually not at the studio at the church. I'm at home. And you see Pastora in her lovely home there. I can't see the comments, but I am going to welcome all of our guests, all of our friends, all of our family watching, all of our RTA partners. Thank you for joining us. We're going to share the word of the Lord, and myself and Pastora are going to go back and forth every couple of minutes. And we're talking today about raising the altar. One of our mandates and one of our commissions is found. I'm going to read this to you. It's found in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 30. 1 Kings 18. This is one of our key verses for the RTA. And I believe they may be able to get that up there for us. If not, I'm going to read it in your hearing. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 30. I'm going to read that in your hearing. And this is a place, as you've heard before, where the nation of Israel is backslidden. Jezebel is in position and she is influencing Ahab, and there's been no rain for 3 years. The nation has turned from the Lord. Sin is rampant. A famine is in the land. Destruction is everywhere. And then God commands the man of God, the prophet of God, to raise an altar and invite the fire of God into the nation, into the city, into the region, to change the course of the nation. And in one encounter, the whole nation is changed. So let's read this here. Here's what 1 Kings 18 verse 30 says. And Elijah said to all the people, come near. I'm going to say that, come near, proximity. I'm inviting you all in Florida. I'm inviting you in anywhere near Jacksonville, anywhere near St. Augustine. Get to Florida this weekend. Come near, get in proximity, because there's power in agreement. And all the people came near and he healed. This word repaired is the Hebrew word Rapha. He didn't just fix the altar. He healed the altar, because the altar is a living entity. It is a living being. It is a living force. He repaired the altar that had been broken down. That word broken down means haras, to tear down, to break down, to beat down, to destroy. I want to declare restoration is coming to everything you thought was destroyed. Verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. So let me encourage you, when an altar is a raise, it is a place of meeting between God and man. When God wants to bring a change in our lives, he invites us to the altar. Now, there are certain circles that sort of that don't believe in going to the altar often. Maybe they believe that the altar call is just for the sinner. It's just for the person giving their life to Jesus. But let me encourage you, altar encounters are meant for all of our lives. We believe at This Rock International and at Raising the Altar, we worship at the altar. An altar is a place of exchange. It's a place of miracles. It's a place of healing. It's a place of restoration and recovery. I want to encourage you that as you see in this place, the Bible says that there was a backslidden nation. The nation is heading the wrong way. There's famine. There's destruction. There's corruption. But the Bible says that God sends the fire of God and turns the nation back toward the Lord. And that's what we're believing for America. That's what we're believing for Florida. That's what we're believing for California. That's what we're believing for South Africa and UK, that God would turn the nation back toward the Lord through a powerful encounter. Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that really spoke to me about this verse was that the text says the altar was broken down.
Mm-hmm.
It was broken down. And come I believe on. There were two reasons this took place. And the first one is the satanic attack. Okay.
Yeah.
Attack. We realized that hell fears one prayer more than it does 1,000 givers.
Come on.
1,000 anything. Okay. So I believe that when we start changing our mindsets about what the altar really means. Okay. What it means to bring our prayer, our sacrifice, our time with the Lord, and we put it in the altar to Him be the glory and all that we do. things begin to break. That satanic attack begins to break. That witchcraft spell that has been over your family begins to break. Things that have been from generation to generation begin to break, because it has to break in the presence of God. There's no other way to have it. There's no other way to come about it. It has to break. So that's one of the things that it says it broke. It broke. It completely broke. So I think that when we surrender it all at the feet of Jesus, when we come to him and we just say, okay, here it is, God. I can't do nothing else. I can't do it on my own. I can't hold on to power. I can't hold on the job. But I know that as I break things down and leave it in the altar to you, Father, things begin to break. And I feel like that's a sign of what's taking place in this last day, that his sons and daughters are coming back to him, that they are beginning to lay it down. They're beginning to break things that they have been carrying year after year, Apostle. It says here that one of the verses that I love is that my house should be a call, a house of prayer. With Jesus, that was Jesus' declaration. He wanted to move in prayer. He wanted to touch us in prayer. He wanted to speak in our time with him in prayer. And I believe that we have to take prayer so serious in this last day that nothing else will matter but just to be at the feet of Jesus.
Amen. Beautiful. I do believe strongly that sort of that you mentioned about that broken down place where the enemy wants to keep us broken down. He wants to keep us beat down. And let me encourage you, the place of your pain and the place of your process becomes the place of your anointing. Wherever you're crushed, wherever you're broken, wherever you're worn, the enemy beats down or breaks down a certain place, but God wants to restore that place. And let me encourage you, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's going on in your life, God wants to bring the release of his presence and cause a power and the goodness of God to be seen, so that the thing that is lacking, the things that is missing, the goodness of God will release his power, his presence. And I want to encourage you watching to not be afraid that the place that has seemed to be broken will be repaired. It will be healed. Our God is a healer. If you're sick, he can heal you. If you're bound, he can deliver you. If you're lost, you can be found. If the family's torn apart, he can restore that. And that's awesome. An awesome insight, Pastor, that the place of being broken down or beaten down, God will meet you there. One prayer at an altar is greater than 1,000, 100 of your own power. This is what the scripture says. It says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 outside your house. What that means is, in the house of God, 1,000 days is roughly just under 3 years. So you can do more in one day in the presence of God than 3 years in your own power, because God meets you in agreement. He meets you in prayer. He meets you in power. The Bible says that not only did he repair the altar, they came together, and then he began to, verse number 31 says that he began by the scripture to, he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of whom, of the sons of Jacob, to whom it is written, Israel will be thy name. Again, he doesn't call us who we are. He calls us who we are in the spirit. He doesn't see our Jacob. He doesn't see our the word Jacob is trickster, deceiver, supplanter, thief, heel grabber. He sees the Israel. He wants to call you who you are. And one of the powers of, I believe, of the altar is he can change your name and give you a new identity in Christ and transform your life around you. Go ahead, Pastor.
I know for me, I speak from experience. It wasn't until God broke me down, until I said enough, that all the habits, all the old habits, all the alcohol, the drugs begin to fall off. And I begin to see the glory and mighty power of God and who he is and how he can restore the wrong thing. He can restore anything in your life. I mean, he can bring restoration in yourself and your family. I mean, it wasn't a time to, I went through the process of just leaving it all to him and allowing him to truly begin to, hey, take out the layers, take out the layers off of me and begin to form me into who I am, into He created me to be right before the foundation of the world. I mean, He created us to be something so big in His presence. And it's up to us to begin to just allow Him to break us, to break us, to break us. The second thing I wanted to bring up was neglect. The broken altar reveals the law of entropy, which simply means that things left to break down. To Elijah, prayer was something of so important. He recognized prayer to be vital for the spiritual restoration of Israel. That's why the first thing he did was to repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. The text also says that he took 12 stones, like you say, Apostle, 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel. But what does that mean to us? What does it mean, 12 stones? It means individually, each tribe has a call from God to meet him at the prayer altar. That Come means on. Each Christian, and I'm talking to somebody out there, you need to recognize who you are, okay? You are from the tribe of Jesus, the tribe of God. You are family. And that means each Christian home has a call from God to maintain the prayer altar in their home. That is your first ministry. I actually was talking to our students yesterday night at church, you know, a disciple class. And I said, your first ministry is your home. That needs to be, an altar created in your homes, because that's where nobody sees what you're doing, okay? But God does, okay? God is always watching. But as you begin to pray in that secret place, God begins to allow your blessings to come upon you. Forget about the pastors, right? No, we love the pastors, don't get me wrong. But forget about trying to impress the pastor, trying to impress the church people. No, let's talk about impressing God in that secret
come on.
Place where we bring the altar, where we allow ourselves to burn for the things that are from God. And I tell you, I'm on fire for God. I want revival now. I'm talking
come on.
About start with me, let it be contagious in my home, and allow it to go beyond my home, because this is my sanctuary for God. This is where I come to him. This is my secret place with him. And I think that a lot of us forget that you have to have that intimacy time.
Come on, come on.
In that secret room where it's all about you and God, because this is where God begins to see your pure heart. Okay, a heart that is about him and nothing else, a heart that is humble, a heart that wants to see his face daily, build that relationship with him. And I think it's so important, but a lot of us, Apostle, a lot of people out there forget that the altar begins, okay, in your secret place with him, in your secret place with him. So I love that you are bringing awareness all over America, and you're doing what the Lord assign you to do in this season, and it's beautiful to see the altar being raised not only in America and in Africa and in different places of the world for the glory of God. There needs to be an awakening. There needs to be an awakening in the body of Christ where we allow ourselves to truly burn for who He is.
Man, awesome, phenomenal thoughts and concepts, Pastor. I believe the word of the Lord. We've said this before. I'm going to reiterate. There are three types of altar. Number one, the corporate altar. We'll start backwards. Number three, the corporate altar. Number two, the family altar. But number one would be the private altar. That altar between you and God in your secret place. The Bible says when you pray, go into your chamber. It's not necessarily your room. It's your private place. That word closet is private place with God. And after you shut the door, so when you go into the spirit, you're actually moving to another dimension. And that's why the devil fights private prayer. He doesn't want you to pray in secret. I'm in Matthew chapter 6. It talks about praying to the Father in secret, in the mystery, in the hidden place. And what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. Now, that word prayer deals with a legal term, though we use it as a religious term, which it's not wrong to have worship or piety. That's a good word. But the word prayer is the word petition. So when you go to the court, you put a petition or an injunction. And so prayer, though it is spiritual, it's also a legal term. You're petitioning the court to interfere in the earth with heavenly authority. So when I pray, I give God legal license to come in the earth. It is an activation for his will to come into the earth. And so many people are frustrated in prayer. That's why we're not doing prayer, because they feel like their prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. They feel like they're not getting any connectivity. They're not seeing results of prayer. But I believe that there is a grace coming, as you mentioned, for us to get back in that prayer closet. And I believe the scripture tells us to call on him while he is near, to seek him while he may be found, meaning there are times where he's more accessible. That means he's never there. He's always with you. But there are seasons when he's close, and that before you call, he will answer. Let me encourage you listening. This private altar, this personal time with the Lord is the key to your family being healed. Your second altar is your family altar, your home altar, where you gather in the presence of the Lord and you call on the name of the Lord. This one's also very difficult because families don't like to change. We get into modes and systems and we try to make changes, but it's hard for them to stick. But I decree in the name of the Lord, your family is going to know the Lord. We're going to turn off the television. We're going to put away the games. We're going to put on worship and we're going to take communion. The Lord spoke to me just the other day that we must get back to taking communion on a regular basis, communing with the body and the blood of the Lord as a family. One of the jobs of communion is remembering who we were in God before the foundation of the world. The purpose of communion is remembrance. We remember Jesus, of course, but we also remember Christ. We remember the word of the Lord. We remember the things of God. So as you're listening, I want to encourage you, as Pastor began to share, that God wants to meet with you in secret. He wants to take you to that secret place so that you can hear him, so that you can encounter him, so the presence and the power of God can be seen on your life. And what he does in your private secret place, he will do in public. Let me encourage you, there's nothing more powerful than when men and women have been away with God. You know, something about, I don't know if you've ever been, Pastora, to a camp, but I've been to a camp. I know that we now, in our new busy lifestyle, do weekend camps, and those are wonderful. You know, we do Friday to Sunday because everyone's busy. But when I was in a youth, they had week-long camps. These camps started Sunday after church, and they commenced Saturday afternoon. And we were there a whole week, and we weren't allowed to bring our phones. We weren't allowed to bring any other material but our Bible. And the power of God was so powerful for that week. By the second or third day, the anointing that was on the mountain, and the preacher usually didn't know what they were doing, didn't know what they were preaching. You know, they didn't have any revelation, but just because the people were consecrated to the Lord and they came together, God would meet us on the mountain, and that anointing was so rich on those speakers. By the third, the fourth day, you couldn't help but run to the altar. Sinners, gang members running to the altar. Let me encourage you. We can have that in our homes. We can have that every week. If we'll seek the Lord, we will find him. So let me encourage you. Raising the altar is a corporate activity. It's something we do in nations once a month around the nations of the world. Somewhere God commanded us to do that. But I want to tell you, the greatest release of this corporate altar is found in your secret place. Go ahead, Pastor. That's powerful.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And Apostle, I love it. You know, that's my heart. I want to see all kind of people come to Christ, all kind of background. I was on the phone with someone this morning and I was telling them my heart is for those that think that they're not worth it, that they have no value in life. I want them to come and know my Jesus, because there's so much love that God has for them and so much purpose in life. Yeah. So I definitely know where you're coming from. One of the things that really spoke to me out of 1 Kings 18:33, without preparation, we will not see the fire of God in the altar. Mm. You know, Elijah, he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood. Elijah made preparations for the fire of God to come down. God has already, he has already decreed that man is the tool God used to bring about the divine movement. We know that. For example, 2 Corinthians 7:14 says, if my people which I call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal the land. So today's sanctification produces tomorrow's wonder. So that means that we have to make a preparation, okay, for the fire to come down. And if we don't prepare the altar, let me tell you, you're going to be waiting a long time for that revival.
Come on.
You're going to take a long time and waiting and waiting and waiting for that revival to move in your city, to move in your home, to move wherever you want it to move at. But you have to take it serious and you have to prepare the altar. You have to prepare the altar. Again, it says today's sanctification produces tomorrow's wonders. If we pray in secret, we will be rewarded in public. If we ask, we will receive. And the list goes on and on. There is only one way to prepare for a revival. And it is in the Bible. It is the only way. And when the Bible patterns is followed, you can expect God to move mighty. Elijah prepared the altar. He prepared the wood and the sacrifice in an orderly manner, which is so important. He had also prepared the people with 3.5 years of prayer and a drown and a calling of them together before the Lord. So I believe that the body is coming together. It's been a preparation season, okay, for us to be united, for us to come together, for us to understand that God is coming for a bride, okay, that he's coming for the church in general, for our body to be together, to understand that the altar has to be prepared for the fire to fall upon us. I don't know, but I feel the glory of God in this right now. I just feel the fire. And I know that as we continue to prepare, to come together, to push each other, because some of us sometimes get a little lazy. You know what I'm saying? Get a little lazy and they don't want to pray. But that's when the brother or sister comes in. And I just watched, I don't want to spoil it, but I just watched The Last Chosen. And the episode, so I'm not going to say no more, but there was a scene there that literally touched my heart when brothers came together and picked up that other brother that did not want to go on, that was going through a depression, that was going through a season in his life to give up. Yeah. But the brothers took him and they lifted him up and they said, no, we're going to burn together in the altar. Listen, the fire is about to fall upon us. The fire is about to fall upon his people. And you need to be there because I'm not allowing you to miss it. And I think that's what we're missing in this hour, that we made it more about us instead of being the body of Christ. And God is coming back for a bride. Don't get me going, Apostle, but I just want to point that out to you. It's amazing, Apostle. It's amazing what God is doing and how he's bringing people from all over for one cause, and that's preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. And I get a little emotional because I can't wait. I mean, I can't wait for just, if we coming together now, imagine the glory in heavenly places where we begin to sing, holy, holy, holy is his mighty and powerful name. It's going to be glorious. So we just need to push each other and continue to build that altar for Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You're stirring the anointing there, Pastora. I know this weekend is going to be phenomenal. We're going to go right back into this word, but let me remind you again, we are going to be this week in St. Augustine, Florida, this weekend, with Pastors Juan and Michelle. They are the senior pastors of Freedom South Campus in St. Augustine, Florida. We will be raising the altar Friday night at 7:30. Saturday morning at 10 a.m., Saturday evening at 6 p.m., and then Sunday morning, Pastora, what time is the local service there again?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. It's going to be phenomenal. The power of God is going to be moving. There's a release. Now, Pastora said something that really I want you to write this down. Today's consecration, today's preparation becomes tomorrow's wonder. You know, we believe, you know, people who move in signs and wonders are just so deep and they were born that way. They just, you know, the anointing just fell on them. You know, you can only receive what you've sown into. And so when you prepare a place to meet with God, when we prepare an altar, here's the verse that I heard as Pastora was teaching. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3 says, Isaiah chapter 40 says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight a highway for our God. So he wants to come, but we've got to prepare for him. Okay. Imagine if you've got company coming. I don't know about things there in Florida, but I know here, Pastora, when Pastor O finds out we've got company coming, it is preparation time. We are, you know, we need at least 3 days notice, 2 days notice. We're getting things ready. We're cleaning the blinds. We're getting under the sofas. We do that regularly, but once it's someone's coming that we honor and we regard, we go above and beyond, and it's all hands on deck to prepare a place of meeting for that individual to come. How much more the presence of the Lord? And that the sad thing about that is we come to God's house not bringing a worship, not being bringing a praise, not bringing a hunger and a thirst. Third, to meet with him, you must meet with him and find people in services weeping and crying and the power of God touching them, and the one right next to them on the same aisle is feeling nothing. They're sensing nothing. They're dry. And is it two different gods? Does God love them and not like the other one? No, the Bible says a humble and a contrite heart, a broken spirit, God will not turn away, despise, or reject. When we come to him with hunger and thirst and passion, we're going to meet him. When we prepare a sacrifice, this is what the book of 1 Kings 18, verse 33 and on tells us. He's, as you mentioned, he brought the bullock. Now, there are different kinds of offerings. We're not here to take a big offering this weekend. God's going to prophesy, God's going to provide that. But I want to tell you, there are different kinds of offering they could bring. The small offering was the grain offering. If they didn't have much, if they couldn't afford, if they were in poverty, they would take a little bit of grain and they bring it and lay it to the altar. If they were still going through hard times but wanted to give a small sacrifice, they would bring the turtle dove. It was a small dove that wasn't very expensive, and it was for the man and woman that didn't have much, but they had to sacrifice. If they were ready to stretch a little bit more, they would bring a lamb, and they would bring a sacrificial lamb, and it was a sacrifice, a mid-level sacrifice. But if they were really ready to move heaven, they would bring the bull or the bullock. It's the mountain moving. You never kill the bull. The bull represented transportation. It represented tilling of ground. It represented wealth. And the only time you slew a bull is when you wanted to put something extremely valuable on that altar. I want to encourage you. It's not about amounts. It's about your heart. Are you bringing the bull sacrifice? Are you laying down the bullock of your worship? Are you coming to that altar expecting to receive the power? That's what I mentioned. The power of God is already here, and it's about community. I was also blessed. Me and my children, I've got a confession. We watch every Chosen in the theaters to support, and then we give away tickets. We're one of those people that are scanning, and we're giving tickets away because we want to support godly movies in the earth. We want to support messages of Jesus. We love Angel Studios. We just saw quick commercial. We saw the movie Cabrini. I think it's called Cabrini. Let me encourage you, go out. This woman who stood in the face of opposition to build orphanages around the world to feed the hungry, and she was fought on every side, sick in her body, was given a couple of years to live, and lived decades to do the work of God. And she said something in the message, in speaking to her leaders before she came to the mission trip to New York to feed the orphans. She said, either you will serve your weakness or you will serve your purpose. You cannot serve both. They were saying, you're sick in your body. You can't go. You don't have very long to live. She said, you will either serve your purpose or you will serve your weakness. You cannot serve both. I would encourage you. We've got to pray for one another. As Pastora mentioned in that show of The Chosen, sometimes your brother is down. Sometimes they're grieving. Sometimes they've lost. And we talked about this a few weeks ago in our This Rock International message. There was a story in the book of Kings that deal with Ziglag, where David David and his mighty men go to battle, or Samuel, actually, First Samuel. And the Bible says that he comes back, his family is taken, his wives are taken, his men's families are taken, his city is burned with fire. And the Bible says they weep until they have no more power to weep. Now, grieving is a part of life. Everyone weeps. But let me encourage you, one thing grieving does is it steals your power. They grieve till they had no more power to grieve. And the Bible says this grief got on the men of God to the degree that they were getting ready. They talked of stoning David. They were so upset and so hurt and so wounded. And the Bible says that David put his prayer garment on. He put his ephod on and he encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he asked the Lord, Lord, shall I go after them? Shall I pursue? And the Lord said, pursue, go after this company. Without fail, you will recover all. Let me encourage you that feel weary, that feel tired, that feel overwhelmed. Your recovery is on its way. Don't grow weary in doing well. You will reap in due season if you do not faint. Go ahead, Pastor. Wow.
Man, wow. Amen. I love that, Apostle. You know, one of the things that I'm very strong at is looking at, am I being obedient to Christ and what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Somebody said 2 Sundays ago in our church, and it was very impacted. They say half obedient is disobedient to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, let me check myself and all that I'm doing, okay? Because you got to do you have to check yourself. Even us, we got to check ourselves daily.
That's right.
I need to encourage somebody out there is that if God has given you a word, you need to be obedient to the Lord and move in that word of God. You're worrying about what's going to take place. You're worrying about how am I going to do it? But the Lord says, I have not given you. Okay. Have I not commanded you? Have I not just you have me on your side, says the Lord. And I believe that this is a word for someone out there that the Lord's speaking to you. He has been waking you up. He has been stirring your heart for some things. And I feel like you need to be obedient now as the season to just walk in that obedience and don't hold back. Going back to Elijah, 1 Kings 18:32, and he made a trench about the altar and great as will contain 2 measures of seas. Elijah made it impossible for anything to happen other than that which God allowed. Okay, God alone could do. Okay, and a lot of times we walk through the trials, we walk through the problems because God needs to get the glory in the situation that we in. Okay, can I get an amen on that? Like God,
amen.
All the glory, okay, to know that he's the only one that made it happen, that he's the only one that when we look back, we can say, oh, wait a minute, it wasn't by my strength, it wasn't by my husband's strength, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we got to be reminded of that. And then 1 Kings 18:38 says, fire came down, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and it all was consumed by fire. So let me tell you what revival is in the presence of God. Revival is not the fire falling. Revival is what caused God to respond by sending the fire. And by sending fire, what causes is your preparation in the season. You preparing the fire, you preparing the altar so the Lord can come and just fall upon us. Revival is brokenness that God responds to with acceptance. Revival is the fire of God coming down on broken and contrite hearts. Okay. He just wants your heart. He just wants our heart, Apostle. That's all he wants. If we was to just lay down, build the altar and lay down who we are as a living sacrifice, then you know what? We will see a mighty move of God in the nation. And this is what we've been praying for, Apostle, which is so amazing that we got men and women like you and your wife that are willing to travel, that are willing to go, that are willing to just say, you know what, Lord God, I'm walking in my obedience. And if I have to go, I will go and leave everything behind. And I'm so grateful for you, Apostle, because It shows in everything that you do. It shows in your people. It shows in your church. It shows what you're all about. And we're grateful to have you here this weekend. And I know that God is going to move mighty. We've been praying about this. We've been fasting. Again, this is taking place this Friday at 7:30. It's going to take place Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Amazing teacher is going to take place. And we have an amazing service. Okay, we are preparing. We're fasting. We are preparing by praying. We want to see you there because we know that you can afford to miss what's going to take place this week. Speaking in the city of San Augustine, Florida, Apostle. We're so excited.
Amen. What a tremendous word. I know you were blessed by our guest. Pastor has been a friend and a sister and a brother of ours for multiple years now. Her and her husband, Pastor Juan, are amazing shepherds. They love God. And they're after the right motives. So I love to partner with and connect to people with right motives. You know, it doesn't matter to me whether we minister to 100 people or 1,000 people. As long as their hearts are hungry for God, like these pastors, like their family, it's a privilege to be able to come and minister together the power and presence. So in a moment, I'm going to pray with you. Let me encourage you, as Pastor Loda said, that trench that was dug. Imagine those of you that worked construction, that worked outside. I used to do that when I was a teenager. And you have ever dug a hole. To dig a hole is very laborsome. They didn't have tools like we have. They didn't have bulldozers. They had to dig by hand. And they had to dig a space for God to fill. I want to encourage you, your sacrifice, you're digging into the earth. The things that happen in your life is preparing for that fire to fall. We're going to pray with you. I'm going to pray. Then Pastor is going to come right behind you and pray, meet me and pray. And the Spirit of God is going to move. The anointing is going to move. Let me encourage you. I had a visitation in 1999, right about 25 years ago now, going on 25 years ago. And the Lord spoke to me that I was going to be a vessel and be a part of it. I'm not all of it. I'm just a part of this movement, and I would be a part of a movement. And my assignment was to gather living stones and to build an altar that God would meet with fire. I didn't know that it would 20 years later become a movement that's starting around the world, that's been in three different nations and multiple states and cities, that has multiple men and women that we've been able to touch. But we're just beginning to start. I believe that we are going to do what Pastora mentioned in 1 Kings 18:38, see the fire of God fall. When the fire of God falls, that next verse, the Bible says all of the people fell on their faces and repented and turned back to God. This is the vision that I had. Again, I don't receive anything for going. I don't receive offerings. I don't receive personally everything. We give and we invest to the local churches. We pay for others to come. I don't receive. What I get is the fulfillment of seeing God's power in places, in cities, in regions, in territories. And I believe that this weekend, God is going to minister supernaturally at the altar at Freedom South Campus in St. Augustine, Florida. We're going to pray. I'm actually going to let Pastora start that prayer. She's going to pray just a few minutes. And whatever she hears, she's going to release that through the airwaves. And I'm going to come right behind her and pray. And we're going to be dismissed. Go ahead. If you got any more thoughts, if you want to go and pray right away, go right ahead, Pastora.
You know, one of the things I wanted to close on this real quick is that spiritual restoration leads to blessings. You know, we all can see you're talking about that, Pastor, and you've been so humble just in your walk with God, not to just to travel for free and not charge anything, just to bring that obedience unto the Lord. But spiritual restoration leads to early and financial blessings. 1 Kings 18:41 says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get three up, eat and drink, for there is a sound abundance of rain. Come on, somebody. There is a sound abundance for rain. And that's what we're hearing it. We know it's coming down. It's going to happen. Now, listen carefully. When we go 1 inch in God's direction, we find that he has already advanced 3 miles in ours. Okay, with repentance came the reign of God for man and beast alike, and the curse was lifted off. Come on, that's what I'm talking about. The curse was lifted off the earth. crops will restore, things will be in field, prosperity and economic recovery came to Israel. God had a destiny that he wants you to fulfill, but that destiny requires that you live the middle ground, repair your broken altar, turn from sin. God will send the rain of his presence. The early blessing he has withheld will be provided. And I close with this profound passage from Hebrews 12, 28 to 29, which it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is consuming fire. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Consuming fire. And I want to release that to somebody, that as you prepare for the altar, as you start making preparations for the altar, the Lord will come, he will consume everything, and things will begin to walk the way it's supposed to be. Things will begin to be the way they're supposed to be. And I'm believing that for you today, that the single mom that's watching today, listen, God is the only way, the truth, and the light. And as you depend on him, as you surrender your heart and you begin to just walk in his ways and not on your ways, the Lord will begin to provide. I'm talking to that husband and wife that have been going through a situation ready to break apart their marriage. I'm telling you that God is bringing restoration as you lay it down at his feet, as you build the altar, as you take the word of God for what it is and you walk in it, that relationship will begin to come into place and God will get all the glory in the middle of the mess. God will be the one that will get all the glory. So we're going to pray right now. So right there where you are, I want you to
sheet
and get ready to receive, because I believe that in this time and season, the Lord is moving quickly and you won't even have time to look the left to the right, because in an instant of a blink of an eye, the Lord will restore everything. He will bring the blessing, everything that you've been asking for, everything that you've been praying about year after year. The orphans, sons and daughters will begin to come home. Things will begin to take place because we have put God where he belongs, where this is right here in the center of it all. So I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus. We pray for every person watching today, Father. We thank you, Father, that you are the miracle worker, God, that you are the one that provides, God, that you are the one that we depend on, Father. And as we move forward, Father, as we speak a blessing over your sons and daughter, Father, we are declaring, my God, victory is already done. You have said it in your word. So allow them to see that the victory has already taken place and that they will begin to walk with their hands up saying, God, I thank you for my victory. I am victorious. I'm going to live a life in victory. I'm not going to be held back by the lies of the enemy. It's a new day, Father. It's a new day, God. Renew my mind daily, Father. Allow me to carry the cross daily, Father. Allow me to be about my Father's business, Lord God. So allow them, my God, to be in tune in such a way, Father, where their relationship with you is unbreakable, Father, where that prayer classes become their life, my God. In the midnight hours, you begin to move, my God, on behalf of their families, my God. Things begin to break off, my God, because they are taking the word for what it is. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they are covered by the blood, that they are covered by the blood, Lord God, that they are covered, my God. Everything that has been going on, every sickness, my God, we come against it right now, Father, and we declare, my God, healing in the name of Jesus. We declare miracles in the name of Jesus, Father, and I thank you, Father, that you will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father.
In the name, I just agree with your woman of God. Every word prayed, every decree over their lives, every lie of the enemy, we cancel. Every wound, every hurt, I pray that men and women would be strengthened in their spirit man, in their spirit woman, that every place the enemy stole, give back 30, 60, and 100-fold. I declare restoration and recovery. You even said, according to your word in Joel chapter 2, you will restore the years, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the locusts have devoured. So I declare, give them back years years that felt lost, time that felt wasted, I ask you in the name of Jesus that these men under the sound of my voice, these women in agreement with what's taking place now, you release recovery over their lives, that as they raise up your altar, you invade their home, you invade their territory, you invade their children, you invade their family. Give back what was stolen, release what you've determined to do and to manifest. Thank you that you are going to send your fire, and thank you that you are going to send your rain. I heard it as Pastora was praying. It came back to me. There will always be fire before there's rain. There will always be purification before multiplication. I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to increase you. But you've been in the fire. You've been in the flood, but it is for my glory. And what the enemy meant to destroy you, it's going to work for your good. Goodness and mercy and favor are going to abound. You're going to release and see God's hand over your home, over your children. The fire was not to destroy you. The baptism of fire is about purification, illumination. It's about transformation. And after you've gone and released the fire of God, then the rain of God will come, and harvest will come, restoration will come, recovery will come to you and to your household. This we release according to the word of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And let those that agree with the man and woman of God say amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.